Happy Friday, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand it's a super sporting weekend.
That's a good way to put it, Kim. The 50th Super Bowl of American-style professional football will kick off Sunday in Santa Clara, California, just south of San Francisco. The big game features the Carolina Panthers against the Denver Broncos. At stake is the Vince Lombardi Trophy, named after the late great coach who led the Green Bay Packers to the first two Super Bowl titles in 1967 and 1968. Dan Friedel is covering the Super Bowl for Voice of America's Learning English, and Dan joins us now in the studio. Dan, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Hi, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Dan, the Super Bowl features two star quarterbacks at different stages of their career. 26-year-old Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers and 39-year-old Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos. What do they each have to prove in this game?
Well, Peyton Manning has to prove that he can still play football. It's as simple as that. He's had the most trying season of his career. Manning is a player who's been the standard bearer for the quarterback position for almost the last 20 years. He's set dozens of records in the NFL for things like touchdown passes and yards, and he's been one of the most consistent players in that position of all time and most productive. But he missed some time a few years ago with a serious neck injury that took an entire season for him to come back from. A lot of people thought his career might be over at that point, but Denver took a chance on him, and Denver thought that their team was good enough to make it to the Super Bowl with a primetime quarterback, and they have made it to the Super Bowl twice with Peyton Manning. The first time they made it to the Super Bowl, they played the Seattle Seahawks and lost in a blowout game, and Manning was really disappointed about how that game went. Now, Manning has had a tough season. He's missed a lot of time due to injuries. He had a foot injury, and a young quarterback came in and took his place and did pretty well. Manning came back at the end of the season and has done surprisingly well in the playoffs, helping the Broncos beat the New England Patriots to get into the Super Bowl. On the other side, we have Cam Newton, who is this energetic, young quarterback.
Powerful quarterback.
He's the same size as some of the defensive players, the defensive ends and linebackers. He's about 6'5", almost 240 pounds. So people who know that in meters, he's almost 2 meters tall. And he plays the quarterback position in this exuberant way. He runs for touchdowns. He throws long passes. And he loves to celebrate. And his exuberant celebrations, his go-to move is this dance move called the dab. His exuberant celebrations have rubbed some people the wrong way. So it'll be interesting to see what he does if and when he scores a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Dan, speaking of celebrations, the Super Bowl in recent years always kind of celebrates the game with a big halftime show. Who are the musical performers for this Super Bowl?
So everybody watches the Super Bowl for different reasons. They watch for the game, what happens on the field. They watch for the commercials during the timeout, and they watch for the halftime show. You know, famous performers like Michael Jackson have been in the halftime show before. This year, it's the British band Coldplay. They're the headliners, and they'll be joined by everybody's favorite singer, Beyonce. Should be an exciting show.
That should be a great show. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl itself, Dan, in particular, the overseas viewers outside the United States, are they tuning in more for the spectacle of the game, surrounding the game, or for the game itself?
Well, it's an interesting question. There are 30-plus teams, right? The NFL whittles it down to two teams in the end, so people watch the game not necessarily to see their favorite team playing, and they have to find a way to get into the spectacle beyond just what's happening on the field, whether the team has a third and long and they complete a pass that gets them a first down. So I think it's about a 50-50 mix between people who watch the game, who are dedicated football fans and people who watch the game like it's just a big party.
Some of those fans will be tuning in to watch those commercials that you mentioned. What does a typical commercial during the Super Bowl for the advertiser, what do they have to pay the National Football League to air their commercial?
So they actually don't have to pay the National Football League, right? They have to pay the company that's broadcasting the game.
Okay.
The company that's broadcasting the game pays the league for the chance to broadcast the game. The Super Bowl gets over 100 million viewers in the United States each year. The price for 30 seconds of airtime is around $5 million.
Wow.
And it's worth it because so many eyeballs are glued to the screen. Some of the big advertisers in history have been Budweiser and a lot of the car companies. Some of the internet companies in the first part of the 2000s during the dot-com boom spent a lot of money to get ads on the Super Bowl, and then the companies failed within about a year. So that's always kind of funny.
All right, Dan, I'm going to ask you to stick your neck out a bit. Who do you like on Sunday, the Panthers or the Broncos?
So first off, I want to remind all of our listeners to check out some of the articles that will be going up this weekend at learningenglish.voanews.com. That's the Learning English website here at Voice of America. If you're a Facebook fan, you can find us by typing in VOA Learning English and looking for us on Facebook. So my pick is the Carolina Panthers. I think that the team is just too strong overall for Denver. Denver has some strong points, but Carolina is balanced on offense and defense. So I'm looking for the Panthers to win something like 27-14.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Friedel, who is covering the Super Bowl for Voice of America's Learning English. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
It was great to be here, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Now let's go to the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East, where South African star Ernie Els has moved to the top of the leaderboard at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic Golf Tournament. The 46-year-old Els is a three-time champion in Dubai. He shot a 67 Friday and now has a total of 9 under par, 135 through two rounds. Reporter Nick Dye caught up with Ernie Els and asked him about his performance.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Yeah, surprising a little bit. You know, perfect conditions this morning. A couple of better flag positions, you know, a little tougher to get to the holes, but very pleased with that. You know, it probably won't hold up, but I'll be in the mix and thereabouts, so that's all I can ask for.
The course different of a morning as it is to the afternoon?
It's a little different. You know, the ball doesn't travel as far in the morning, but you're putting on absolutely perfect putting surfaces. And, you know, as I just said to Wayne, you know, I didn't play that well on the front nine, tee to green, but I made a lot of putts to save pars and, you know, obviously made an eagle on 18. And then played a little bit better on the back, but, you know, the front nine, as was my back nine, was a bit of a tougher nine. But I'm pleased with the way I played.
And that eagle is tasty compared to the bogey of day one. How's your ribs? How's the back? How's the result of that?
No, it's better. You know, it's getting better each day. You know, I can still feel it, but it's a lot better. And, you know, we'll keep working on it. And, you know, I can't use it as an excuse anymore. You know, it feels a lot better. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the weekend. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I'm playing pretty good.
Well, you've been slaving away, working hard for a considerable time. So yeah. I don't know if this is overdue or whether it's come as soon as you'd expected or what.
No, I mean, I've definitely after the first week of the year, I mean, that was probably, you know, hopefully the low point of the year because, you know, from 18 inches I was dodgy, you know, and to make the changes that I have made, you know, drastic changes in the putting setup, the grip and so forth, and now feeling very comfortable and confident is an about turn, isn't it, you know, because I was really nowhere and now I feel like I've got some game. So really pleased with all the work, as you say, we've put in on and off the golf course, and you know, that's what you need to do sometimes, you know, get your feet under you and get ready for the rest of the year.
Last time you felt this good?
Yeah, it's been a while, eh? I mean, and I won the in Munich, you know, the BMW, that's a couple of years ago, and even, you know, the US Open back in that year, but the last year I haven't felt like this. So this is it's like I say, it's an about turn for me from where I was, and it's a nice feeling to have.
That South African golf star Ernie Els feeling pretty good about his performance so far at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic Tournament. And Ernie was talking Friday with reporter Nick Dye in Dubai. Just ahead on the sunny side of sports, my VOA colleague James Buddy will have a Black History Month segment on a basketball Hall of Famer and a baseball great.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
It's time now for our Black History Month facts for today, February 5th. On this day, 1934, Henry Louis Hank Aaron was born in Mobile, Alabama. He became baseball's all-time home run hitter. Aaron entered the record books on April 8, 1974, when he broke Babe Ruth's record of 714 home run hits. He went on to hit a total of 755 home runs before completing his 23-year major league career. On this day in 1972, Robert Bob Douglas became the first African-American to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Douglas was the founder of the New York Renaissance basketball team. Nicknamed the father of black professional basketball, Douglas owned and coached the Rens from 1923 to 1949.
So now we see the light. What you gonna we gonna stand up for all yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah. You better get up.
Don't give up the fight. Speaking of which, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, says the boxing world is in shock over the May 7th fight between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan. I'll talk with Nnamdi about this fight next week, but one quick detail, Canelo will be defending his World Boxing Council middleweight